Morning. It's good to be back. I have to admit, I was actually a little nervous this morning, which was weird. I don't think I've been nervous to preach a sermon since like seminary when professors were listening to it. But it's been, I looked the other day, it's been 8 weeks since I've preached a sermon here at the church. July 1st was my last sermon before I went into the hospital. So today, we're going to do a little something different from normal, and especially from where we left off back on July 1st in the book of John. I thought it'd be a good time for us to just talk about as a church the trial that we've been through together. The way we're going to do that over the next 3 weeks, we're kind of going to use James chapter 1 as our theme for the next few weeks. And I'll kind of give you a layout here in a minute of what we're doing in the coming weeks, but I wanted to read that first. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." I was thinking this week about how two different things. Number one, how a trial you experience at different levels, depending on how intimate you are with the trial. For instance, if you were yourself to go into the hospital for some type of emergency, that's a pretty big trial for you. And there's a ripple effect. The people around you experience that trial with you. But it gets less and less. Your friend from high school across the country might be praying for you and hope you well. But it's not near as big of a trial for them as it is for you and your family and your friends that are close to you. And so I got thinking about that with our church and how the trial that I've been through, everyone at our church experiences it differently. In different ways. And so that's really what the next three Sundays are about, is kind of walking through that ripple effect and different levels of that. The other thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is that if our God is a personal and relational God, and if, like James tells us, trials are meant to build us up, to mature us, to create endurance in us, then our trials are custom made for us. Some people might be going through a trial that might not seem like that big of a deal to you, but to them, it's their whole world. And other people might be facing something. I've had this experience just this week. Other people might be facing something that makes your trial seem like nothing. But your trial's for you, and theirs is for them. So that's why we're going to spend some time on this. The title of our series that we're going to be doing the next few weeks is Lessons from Pain. And so what I want to talk about and how I kind of want to talk about the different ripples of that is this Sunday, I want to talk about our corporate lessons as a church, things that I think as a church we've learned from this time, from these last 2 months. Hopefully all of us have learned this. I know I have. I know a lot of our leaders have. And so I'm hoping all of us as a church have learned these lessons. But you could be here this morning and you could not even have really experienced much of a trial the last couple weeks. It might not have been a very big deal to you this last 2 months. And also, I was reminded of this during first service. There might be some of you here that are going, "What in the world is this guy talking about with his arms in two slings and trials?" So I wanted to share with you very briefly. I think most of you know, but on July 6th in the very early morning hours, I was asleep in my bed and I had a seizure. First time I'd ever had a seizure in my life. It was violent enough that it dislocated both of my shoulders in opposite directions and broke several bones. And so that's what my wife woke up to on July 6th was that. And so, of course, she called 911 and the fire department, the ambulance got there right away and rushed me to the hospital. And I had an emergency surgery to put my shoulders back together. Spent a week in the hospital, and have been recuperating since then. And so you can imagine the trial that that's been for me and my family, but also for our church. I don't know if you realize this, but when your pastor goes into the hospital on a Friday, there's not like five or six people ready to preach the next Sunday just in case. And so there was a lot of things that had to be done, a lot of areas that had to be covered, a lot of people that had to step up. And it's been a trial for our church that we've gone through. And so that's what I want to do today is talk about some lessons we've learned. And then next Sunday, some of the leaders of the church are going to be standing up and giving their testimony. They're going to share what God has taught them and how they've grown through this trial, through the responsibility of the church being dumped on their shoulders overnight, literally, and some of the things that they've learned and how God has grown them. And then the final Sunday, the third Sunday, the week after Labor Day, the next weekend, I'm going to share something really difficult, and I'm going to share my lessons. God has done a lot in me, and a lot of it is not easy to share and easy to talk about. But I think that's important as your pastor that I share those things with you. So the weekend after Labor Day, it's going to be my personal lessons from the pain that I've experienced these last couple months. So let's jump in to look at our corporate lessons today. There's a passage I want to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. Here's what the word of the Lord says. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the whole body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but the members would have their same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask for the guidance of your Spirit. Father, as we come together as the body of Jesus Christ, the one church, I just ask that you would open our hearts and minds. We have all experienced different levels, different aspects of the trial we're talking about today. But Father, I believe everyone here has something to learn from that as a church, as a body. And so I ask that today would be a step in drawing us closer, that we would have greater intimacy with one another and with you, that this trial would accomplish what it was meant to, that as a church, we would be more mature, we would have greater perseverance and endurance, that we would be made complete in who you desire us to be. So bless our time now as we look into the word. Teach us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's three things I want to talk about today from that passage. Three things I think we've either learned or understood much more clearly in the last couple months. And the first of those is that we as the church are an organism, not an organization. The second thing is that we each have an important role to play. We each have an important role to play. And the last thing is when one hurts, we all hurt. And my hope is that at the end, we'll see how these lessons culminate into the biggest, most important lesson of all. So let's look at the first idea, that we are an organism, not an organization. I want to read a few of those verses for you again. Verses 14 through 20 say, "Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." It's really important to remember that when Paul talks about this, he begins his discussion and he does not say, the church is like a Fortune 500 company. He does not say, the church is like a powerful military. He does not say, the church is like a well-oiled machine. Even though I have lots of illustrations for that if he did say that. Paul tells us the church is a body, is an organism, is a living thing. And honestly, this first point, I don't have a whole lot to say about that. Other than everything else we're going to talk about is built on that fact. Everything else we're going to say, all the lessons we're going to talk about that we've learned, if we're just an organization, if we're just a nonprofit organization on the Mesa, then the rest of these things don't apply to us. It's because we are a living being, an organism, that God has created, that everything else we're going to talk about is true. So the next thing we're going to talk about is that we each have an important role to play. I love how Paul goes on in this passage. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our respectable parts are treated with greater respect. Our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other." We each have an important role to play in the church. I think the first and most obvious application is that we need each other. Not that we just desire each other, or we like each other, or we feel like hanging out. We need each other. We need each other. If you're involved here at the church, then you know very clearly how many of you have had to step up in the last few months, how important you are here, and how much we need you. And I know each of us have seen that in others, maybe even people that you didn't realize were that important and that we needed that much. We realize a little bit more how important their role is and how we need one another. And if you haven't really been too involved here and just hanging out in the fringes, then I want to tell you that over these last 2 months, we needed you. And in the coming months, we need you. We need every part of the body to be healthy and strong if we're going to do the work that God's called us to. And I think there's even more to this lesson that Paul teaches us, and that's that we can learn, we can benefit from spending time with one another. We can learn and grow from any of the parts in the body that we spend time with. What I mean by that is any of us would probably see it beneficial to spend time with a seasoned saint like Jim Hambleton over there. Jim's been walking with Christ much longer than I've been alive. And I guarantee any of us can learn something from Jim Hambleton. But the truth is, I sat there in the pew for several Sundays and listened to some men in their 20s who taught me all kinds of things about God. I learned so much from them. What an incredible blessing to sit there with Mark and with Patrick up here preaching God's word and teaching me. What an incredible, beautiful thing. And that's true with all of us. I don't know how many times I've learned something from someone who just accepted Christ 3 weeks ago. And they understand something about God that I've missed. See, the truth is, if we all have the Spirit of Christ living in us, then we all have something to teach one another. And that's important to remember. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul, when he's talking to the young Timothy, encourages him, "Let no one despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Brothers and sisters, regardless of age, anybody who's living that kind of life, we have something to learn from them. We can learn from any brother or sister who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And because of this, because of the other couple things that we've already talked about and what Paul has to say in that passage, we need to make sure that as a body, as a church, that we celebrate those unsung heroes sometimes as well. There are so many people that have stepped up in the last couple months, and I bet you don't even know a lot of their names, that have played a vital role here at our church. Libby has taken care of so many little details, just things that you don't even know need to be done every week. And Libby has made sure that those got done and that we continue to move forward in ministry. I think about the Zupan family. I don't know if you guys know Dave and Liz Zupan. They come to First Service. They're here every single week making sure that this church is beautiful and spotless and clean when we show up to worship on Sunday morning, when we show up for Bible study on Thursday night, when we show up for youth group on Wednesday night. They have a lot of work to do after the youth group's here. Doug Chandler, Bill Genovese, I wish all of you could spend a day with those two guys as they take care of the grounds around the church. It is just a hoot. But they're here all the time, taking care of the church, making sure things are working, fixing things that are broken, spraying weeds, giving Libby a hard time while she's in the office. Giving me a hard time too. And Kent Edlin. A lot of you might even know who Kent is, might not even know who Kent is, but Kent is the chairman of our board of directors here at the church. And the amount of things that Kent has taken care of in the last 2 months, I've been amazed at. Kent has made sure that we stay on track, that all our leaders know what they should be doing and how we should be moving forward, keeping an eye on our insurance, on our finances, on legal issues. So many things about our church in the last 2 months have moved forward beautifully because of guys like Kent or guys on the board like Josh McClure and our deacons, Patrick and Fred. When I came back and started getting involved 6 or 7 weeks after my hospital stay, I was amazed at how these men have just moved us forward in exactly the direction we're supposed to be going. We need to make sure we celebrate that and we know that that's happening. Every part of the body is important. Trust me when I say, I know this today more than ever. Do you know the arms cannot say to the shoulders, "I don't need you"? It just doesn't work that way. Without the shoulders, the arms are pretty worthless. But I've also seen that spiritually in beautiful ways these last couple months. We need each other. So the last thing I want to share comes from verse 26. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." All kinds of things can be said about one member being honored and all the other members rejoicing. I knew that already. I've seen that in the past many times, you know. Something great happens in one of our families or a ministry that one of our church members does, and we celebrate together. But what I want to spend some time on today is the idea of hurting. And again, this is a truth that I have learned very intimately in the last couple months. I don't want to sound like a whiner, but I have to tell you, my back has been killing me every single day. It hurts to cough or to sneeze like crazy. My neck is stiff constantly. Hurts to turn my head. My wrists are stiff. My legs and my hips are sore from squatting down all the way to pick anything up off the floor. And you know what? I didn't injure my back. I didn't injure my wrists. I didn't injure my legs or my neck. But guess what? They all hurt. They all hurt. I have seen this truth come to light in our church, in our amazing body of Christians here at Mesa Christian Fellowship. It's been interesting for me because I've known this truth to be real in my own life. And what I mean by that is there's many of you that I've sat with in a hospital bed and prayed with you. I've sat with you when a family member's died and cried with you. I've been there and I've hurt when you've hurt. But I've seen this more in the entire body than I've ever been able to experience before. The amount of compassion, the amount of love, the amount of tears that you have shed with me is amazing to me. And it has shown me that much more clearly. It's not just the pastor that loves people and cries with them when they hurt. We are a body. And when one hurts, we all hurt. And it's such a peaceful and beautiful and comforting thing to know that when you're hurting, your church family hurts with you. They love you deeply, and they feel that, and they shed those tears. It's amazing what a peace and comfort comes from that truth. They feel your pain right alongside you. So, to kind of wrap all this up, because my back's getting tired, I want to go back to where we started. Brothers and sisters, you are the church. You are the church. Being a pastor is such an incredible, beautiful calling that I'm very aware that I don't live up to every single day. I'm going to share a lot more with you about that in a few weeks. But I'm so incredibly blessed that you call me your shepherd, that you follow me, that you look to me. I'm so incredibly blessed that I get to speak God's word to you. I get to pray with you in good times and in hard times. That I get to walk with you through some of your most difficult times. I get to visit you in the hospital. I get to baptize you. I get to lead you in the Lord's Supper. It is such an incredible honor. And I love shepherding this body of believers. But I'm not the church. I'm an important part of it. You can't say you don't need me. We already read that. But I am not the church. You are the church. And this leads me to something that I've been struggling to say or how to say it. But I think it's an important thing to remember. You see, I love our church. I love not just each one of you individually, but who we are as a body. I love our church. And I came to realize the more we talked with doctors and the more I understood what was going on in the hospital, that it's not too far of a stretch to say I was pretty close to not being here anymore. If my wife hadn't been in the bed right next to me, if I had been somewhere else by myself, I wouldn't be here today. If we didn't have rural fire show up in 2 minutes, I might not be here today. And you know what worried me the most about that? I can tell you there were a lot of days in the hospital and afterwards that I thought, man, it'd be a lot easier not to be here today. I'm not afraid to die. I can't wait to see my Lord. But I don't want my wife to be alone. I don't want my children. To be without a dad. I don't want my church to be without a pastor. I love you guys. But I also want to say that if that had happened, if God had decided to take me away from you, what did we just say? You are the church. And if God takes me, then he's got another man to shepherd you. I don't know who he is. Maybe he's a guy we don't know, or maybe he's sitting in here right now. I don't know who he is. But I can tell you he's not going to be Pastor Shane. If anything ever happened to me, don't look for another Pastor Shane. If God takes me out of here, it's because he didn't want Pastor Shane here anymore, okay? Don't try to find another Pastor Shane. But God will bring that person. Now, all that to say, brothers and sisters, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I want to be here for a long, long, long time. I want to see my kids grow up, and I want to see your kids grow up. But don't ever forget, please don't ever forget that you are the church. And finally, how in the world is something like this possible? I mean, you think about the beauty and the unity and the oneness and the strength and the love and the intimacy that we just talked about as a body of Christ. How in the world is that possible? I mean, we know people, right? We're pretty messed up. We're pretty broken. How in the world can we have something like this? And believe it or not, we found out how that can happen in the very first chapter of John, back when we started the study of John. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it tells us exactly how this is possible. It says, but to all who did receive him, talking about Jesus, to all who did receive Jesus, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. Being a member of this beautiful body of Christ, and I'm not talking about a member of this organization. Being a member of the beautiful body of Jesus Christ comes one way and one way only, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Recognizing that you are a sinner, recognizing that you have done a great deal to separate yourself from God, his love, his perfection, his plan for your life, you have walked away from all that and spit on it. We all have. But Jesus Christ took every one of those sins, every one of our mistakes, every time that we willingly turn our back on God, Jesus took every one of those on his shoulders on the cross for you and for me. So the question is, how in the world can something like this be possible? Or maybe today your question is, how can I be a part of something like this? The answer is, come to Jesus. To all who believe in him, to all who put their faith in him, he has given the right to be called children of God, to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, you know that. You've experienced that. And if you're here today and you haven't, it's my deepest desire that you do. Come to Jesus. Join us. And that's where abundant life is found. It's not found in things or prestige or positions. Abundant life is found in Jesus Christ and living daily here on this earth with his children, brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let another day go by. Don't let another moment go by. Talk to whoever brought you to church today. Come talk to me. And brothers and sisters who are sitting here, you know who that person is. You know the one that God's been laying on your heart. That friend, that family member, that coworker, that person around you who doesn't get this kind of joy and this kind of peace, who doesn't have a body of believers that hurt when they hurt, that fill in where they're weak, that celebrate when they celebrate. Share Jesus with them. All the things we just talked about, there are men and women around us who don't get to live that way every day like we do. Don't keep that a secret. Amen? Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, as I come today, I am just incredibly humbled and honored by the amazing brothers and sisters that you've given me and your family. Heavenly Father, to be loved, to be ministered to by this group has been the greatest privilege, the greatest learning experience. And it's been the greatest glimpse I think I've ever gotten into your incredible love for me. Father, let us live this out passionately. Let us show this to the world. Everyone needs to see your goodness. Everyone needs to see your love, your redemption, your salvation. The way that you help us, you make us, you empower us to rise above the brokenness and the sinfulness in this world and experience a kind of peace and kind of joy that we could never manufacture on our own, that only comes through your Holy Spirit. Father, that's abundant life. Let us show it proudly to the world around us and then draw them to yourself. Draw them to you. Draw them to Jesus. Convict them. Call them to you and bring them into our family. Because I can't wait. I can't wait to see how we need them in the body of Christ. What role they have to play. And how we can hurt when they hurt and rejoice when they rejoice. I can't wait for them to be our brothers and our sisters. Draw them to you. Bring them into your body. And let us all live abundantly together. We love you. We praise you. We worship you, not just on Sunday morning, but with all that we are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.